Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, welcome to Walnut Grovecast. Well, let me just stop this godforsaken music. My name is Mark, and I am on tonight with the original co-host of Walnut Grovecast, Chris Hassler. How are you, Chris?
Hello, hello. It's good to be back from Walnut Mountain. Walton Mountain. I was doing that for our sister podcast.
Wait, you were watching the Waltons?
I was watching the Waltons.
Were you really, or are you kidding?
But there was no interest in that podcast. So.
I don't know. I have to question if there's interest in this podcast.
No, you got a fan base. I know I've been away, but I've been watching. Like, you got a fan base here, man.
35 people, I think, listening right now.
And I want everybody's patience. I've been away from Walnut Grove for a long time. I have a lot of questions about, who's all those kids that Pa has? And
well, we have Justine Bateman's brother, Alex P. Keaton.
I mean, there's a scene with Pa and the kids, and Pa's cooking, and like two keep their back to the camera for the whole scene and never speak. And Pa favors Grace over Justin, what's Jason Bateman, and even Albert's fallen out of favor because
he's just not cute anymore.
I had him, again, I just, it was tough for me to take it all in. I remember the
episode are we doing? You got to mention what episode we're doing.
Oh, it's Wave of the Future.
This is season 8, episode 10. It first aired December 7th, 1981.
I wish I could do a English accent as Major Guffrey does, but I can't do it.
Believe it or not, he was born in Australia.
Weird. The actor, right? Laurie, what was it? Laurie Main. It's a man with the name Laurie, so he must be in Australia.
Actually, his name is Lawrence.
Lawrence?
Yeah,
really?
Lawrence, yeah. I kid you not. I do have a segment coming up later as to why, where do I know this guy from? A brand new segment, everyone.
I took a quick look at his IMDb. The only thing – all right, we'll talk about that later.
All right. There's a lot to talk about because
– oh, my God. Oh, my God.
We really – in Chris and Mark fashion, I think, we went off on a tangent before we pressed record. I busted out the Little House Cookbook, and I was telling you about the interview I had with Barbara Walker the other day. And how she was kind enough to send me a book that's autographed that I'll be giving away, which is pretty cool. And that brought me to the conversation about Kim Layer. Kim Layer's been, she's coming on for a few more episodes. She was on one episode so far. And Kim, she's a homesteader down in Florida. And she reached out to me, not from Facebook, but just from finding the podcast and maybe the love of Little House. And she said, she's actually giving her family the 30-day challenge of just cooking from the Little House Cookbook, which I just think is so cool.
Like this is interesting because what's in that cookbook?
We should have Kim on, right? Kim should be calling in any minute now.
Dial her in right now.
I would, you know, I, if I had her phone number, I would probably text her and say, hey, jump on here.
I want to know what Pa is cooking for the kids in this episode.
Oh, come on. It's Dinty Moore stew.
I after this episode, I never want to hear Pa complain about not having money.
Mm-hmm.
With all the food he like just tosses away as if to trick the kids, and it's not working, and this food is going to waste. This is a lot like, of Pa.
There's a lot of weird stuff in this episode. And we should just jump into it, but it's very strange because, you know, Walnut Grove is not considered a really kind of a financially well-off area.
That's one of my main notes here is, how is everybody affording to go to this Applebee's?
Right, and yeah, Applebee's.
That's what I kept thinking of was oh, it's they're doing franchises, so it's an Applebee's. What else could?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's really kind of weird the way they come in and they do the franchise thing. And very strange, of course, has a twist ending. This is a big favorite for a lot of people.
You know, and I know I'm going to have a lot of, like, hate mail for this, but I don't like when the series goes so broad into comedy. Like, this is, like, played so broadly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This opening scene I'm about to play is a good indication as to the tone of the episode. Just the music alone is like, ooh, tone it. Back it up a little
there's
bit.
There's a lot of good music cues in this.
Yeah.
But this opening scene, it has no bearing really on the rest of the episode. I'm like, what did they realize they were short and they had it to pad it or?
I don't know. I think this gives a good indication of what they were getting into. You know,
I know it's all a sham and well, not a sham, but just it's all built on, you know, it's all like a house of cards. And
yeah.
Sony.
Well, she does make a good stew from what I understand. But Mrs. Sullivan's and we're going to get right to a photo shoot that they're having. And this is basically what is really going on in a lot of things. I remember a similar episode in. Wasn't there an I Love Lucy that kind of went this way?
With franchise restaurants?
Well, kind of like there was – I'm trying to think. There was a sitcom where they wanted somebody to use a certain kind of detergent and then they didn't – maybe it's Brady Bunch?
Wait, it'll come to me. It'll come to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. But
could be – this could be a trope.
Definitely
you know,
not 70s. Gilligan's Island.
No.
not Gilligan's Island. All right. But, all right. So here's the first clip. Ooh, that's very low.
I'm all ready. Where's the old lady?
How should I know? She said she'd be back in a minute.
That was an hour ago.
Well, here she comes. We were supposed to shoot the picture an hour ago.
Oh? Were you late?
Come on, let's go!
Come along.
So she's wobbling up.
He's manhandling her.
Exactly. So he's, she's clearly inebriated on some level. But to make a long story short, they take a picture of an old woman holding a piece of cake. She actually does mention a certain cake, which I thought would be kind of interesting. I wanted to know if you've ever heard of it.
A rum baba?
Yeah, a rum baba.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of it? It actually is a thing. Well, you've heard of babka, right? No?
Wait, is that Greek?
No.
Oh, I guess not. Okay, nope.
No, babka is, I don't know if it's a Yiddish word or something, but it's, a babka is like a loaf of dough in a way. Like if you go to a good bakery and get a chocolate babka, it's a delicious yeast cake. And I think
and
you would
you
really
put alcohol in it.
No, a babka doesn't I don't think it normally has alcohol. Usually it's chicken. What am I talking about? Chocolate, cinnamon, that type of thing.
Interesting. Okay.
But the rum babka is it's like a little cylindrical yeast cake that's like native to like the Ukraine and Poland, and it's covered in a syrup and then kind of doused in rum. So
that sounds good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'll take
a rum cake.
I'll take six.
Yeah. Stand right there.
You pushed me.
I did not push you.
You did push me. Say you're sorry.
Madam? All right, I'm sorry.
It's too late to be sorry.
Come on.
I'm trying.
So these are bad actors. Bottom line. Bottom line, this is going to be a photograph of Mrs. Sullivan, who Mrs. Sullivan's going to be the... I guess
the mascot of the company. Yes,
exactly. She's going to be the Mrs. Sullivan.
Kind of like what Colonel Sanders was in our day.
Yeah, kind of. I would say so, except he was at least a real person. This is like just somebody that they pulled off the street and took a photograph of. I would imagine this kind of happened sometimes, right?
Now, should I use logic throughout this episode?
Sure.
You know, like, why wouldn't they get a professional...
They say later that they paid $2. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
Why not get somebody who's not drunk? Yeah, you know, that might be the real way to
go. And why not, get somebody younger? Grandma. Advertising came in the 60s, yeah.
So we fly over to Walnut Grove. We get into the restaurant, which is at this point named Caroline's.
So let me ask you this. So again, being away, I forgot. This restaurant is Caroline's, but then there was a shot where there's Nelly's, which is also a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, you mean there's a shot in here where it says Nelly's?
Yeah.
You have to point that out.
All right, I will. I'll find it.
It was originally Nelly's, and then they changed it to Caroline's.
And in one place I see it says Caroline's. But that's why I was confused.
Well, do you see?
I'll find it while we.
Just so people don't completely lose their minds, Chris doesn't never really watch the newer, what I refer to as the newer episodes. I'd say you've watched up to season 5 or 6. And the whole story completely changes at this point. Percival comes. He's hired by the Olsons to teach Nelly how to cook. He makes a suggestion that Nelly is such a bad cook that her reputation is making people not come. So name it after Caroline, because everyone knows that Caroline is a good cook.
All right.
So that's a temporary choice.
So it is the same place. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I believe I'd have to look at the complete timeline, but Nelly will have moved to New York at this time already. And we have all Nancy. Right. Are you familiar with Nancy?
I remember Nancy.
You hate Nancy. Me. I love that girl. She's awesome. She's actually one of my favorite characters in this entire show, the whole run. So,
really?
No, not. Well, sort of. I kind of like how dramatic she is. I think it's funny. You hate me. She's like a young Charlotte Ray. Tootie.
All right. The shot where it says Nelly's is at 5:32. It's just before the first conversation with Guffy.
I'm going to play it, even though there'll be audio.
You fought in the war.
This is awesome.
No, it's right before that.
Oh, really? All right.
That's how they set up. Wait.
All right. I'm going to take your word for it on that one.
Okay.
But I'm going to play the clip.
You gotta play the clip that opens the diner stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna play them eating at the diner where they're, you know, it's a busy place and they're serving.
What they're doing to poor Hester Sue?
Oh my God! I get it. She's black and they're downtrodden. Yeah, you know, black people are.
They're putting up the rope around the tree.
Oh my God! They're waiting like, for her to make a mistake. Yeah, it's like, this isn't what I ordered. Let's string her up. You know, it's like they're waiting for this.
Jeez. Oh, it's 4:52. It's 4:52.
All right, I'll get to it another time. I've had enough of this. All right, I'm going to play the clip.
4:57. Sorry, there it is. Anyway, see? All right, go ahead.
My mind is I'm going to have some hot tea instead of coffee.
All right.
Mr. Sue?
Yes.
Where's that pie? I've been waiting 10 minutes
oh,
now.
Oh, Mr. Taylor, I'm so sorry. I forgot it. I'm so busy. I forgot Mr. Taylor's buying. I have two more orders for breaded whitefish.
Well, we're all out of whitefish. I cooked the last batch 15 minutes ago.
Oh, no. Caroline, it's nights like this. I wish I was somewhere else, anywhere else.
I know what you mean.
There.
Now, that's a tough thing to say for a woman who grew up in, you know, so, you know, in a rough state, right? It really is.
Here's the order of roast beef. Thanks. Hester Sue.
By the way, did you notice, like, I'm not a big fan throughout this whole episode of the way Caroline plates the food at this restaurant. Like, when she first – when Hester Sue first walked into her, she almost dropped the potatoes.
Yeah, the way she plates it is the way my mom would plate it, like kind of like with no thought or care.
Exactly. I was like, presentation.
I wiped the plate, damn it.
She does that later on when they're doing the stew. She just like splats it all over the place.
What do you grow? What do you grow up on a farm? Oh, I guess I grew up on a farm. All right, so I like it. I'm going to jump to where Hester Sue has to – actually, when she's talking to this weird guy, it's kind of funny.
There you are, Ernie. You're one customer that never gives me any problem.
Well, your food's the best, Hester Sue.
It's not really her food, is it?
It is not.
Thank you.
Ooh, Hester Sue, we're ready to order.
I'll be right there.
Hester Sue, is that my pie?
Mr. Taylor, I'm so sorry it took so long.
My tea.
All right.
I'm not going to wait another second for that tea. Hester Sue, we're ready to order.
All right.
More coffee, Hester Sue?
This is great. It's like somebody's like, sipping from the rum.
Right. Like the customers would have heard that, first right. of all. Yeah. And Ma's just being careless, like not questioning what's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I like how Hester Sue's getting a little Marla Gibbs with Harriet throughout this episode.
Yeah, I'd say like, so. Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. What was her name on that show?
Weezy?
The maid. No, oh, that was the wife. What the hell was her name? I don't know.
Oh, it's so important, too. It'll come to me. Florence.
No. It's not Florence.
Close. I can hear George Jefferson saying it. All right, so here's Major Guffrey talking about the restaurant plan. He's a franchiseer or franchiser. I guess he's somebody who wants to expand the entire thing, and he's basically selling it.
Question. All right, I guess that's what you do, or you just open your own.
You're right.
You know, I don't know why he didn't open his own right across the street.
Yeah. Well, that would take more money because then he would have to.
I guess.
This way, these idiots have to put up all the money. I guess.
Right. Which we'll talk about that in a second.
So I'll play some of his sell.
Then it's clear that your employees are being worn to a frazzle. They've got more going than you can handle. But don't you worry. I have the answer. Oh. Just remember this. A restaurant is a battlefield.
A battlefield?
A principle I developed on some of the great battlegrounds of the war between the states. Ditton, Shiloh, Chancellorsville.
Oh, my. You fought in the war.
Mrs. Olson, I'm not much of a fighting man, but I do like to think I helped to win those battles. You see, an army travels on its stomach, and I fed the army. Quartermaster Corps, 30 years.
He's either got something in his teeth or he's got a speech.
At a time. Couldn't afford a slipshod operation. Efficiency, that is the key word.
So... actually, it is Florence. Florence Johnston.
Oh, is it Florence?
Yeah, played
really?
By Marla
okay.
Gibbs. Yeah. I was like, I kept thinking it was Florence Johnston was maybe her real name. But yeah, Florence.
Oh, wow. All right. Flo, sorry.
The other Flo. Who knew? So I'm going to get to my segment now. I'm going to take a shot at this. And
I hope that voice is real. Like, that accent isn't fake, right?
I don't think it's – I don't think – well, what would you say that accent is?
I would have said it's, like, British.
Hmm. Well, here's the thing. Why – I mean, have you seen this guy before? You've definitely heard of him before.
I would have placed that face, but that voice too. If that voice was real, that's why I was thinking.
Well, I have a little segment called "Where Have I Seen This Actor?" So I'm gonna read through this. Lawrence George Laurie Mayne was born on November 29th, 1922. He was an Australian actor, best known for hosting and narrating the children's series "Welcome to Pooh Corner," which aired on the Disney Channel during the 1980s. Born in Melbourne, Australia, Mayne moved to the UK at the age of 16, making his acting debut in The Yellow Balloon. He immigrated to the United States in 1960, studying with Agnes Moorehead. His television... Nice. Yeah, seriously, right? His television and film guest appearances include Wagon Train, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Maverick, I Spy, The Girl from UNCLE or UNCLE.
He goes back that far.
Yeah, Get Smart, The Andy Griffith Show, The Three Stooges, Go Around the World in a Daze, That Girl, Ironside, The Monkees, Hogan's Heroes, The Ghost and Mrs. Murr, Daniel Boone, Family Affair, Bewitched, The Partridge Family, Macmillan and Wife, Land of the Lost, Punky Brewster, and Murder, She Wrote. He also did considerable voice work for Disney, having supplied the voice of Dr. Watson in the 1986 animated film, The Great Mouse Detective. He also narrated the animation shorts, Winnie the Pooh Discovers the Seasons from 1981, and Winnie the Pooh and A Day for Eeyore, 1983, as well as serving as the story reader on many Disney read-along records, audio cassettes, and compact discs. He died on February 8th, 2012, in Los Angeles at the age of 89. And that's why you should know who Laurie Mayne is. He did a serious career.
Really?
I'm looking at
his IMDb. He's got other stuff, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had to leave some of this stuff out.
I know.
But yeah,
just trying to think of things I would have known this guy from.
His voice you probably know more than anything.
That is crazy. Yeah. I have to see The Great Mouse Detective again.
Yeah, that's something.
I loved that one as a kid.
So Harriet and Nels argue about this decision because there's a contract that seems a little shady. And Nels, being the shrewd business person he is, questions it. And Harriet, being the shrewd businesswoman she is, sees dollar signs. So here we go.
Okay. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Oh, and I love this scene because
Nancy.
Even before Nancy talks, you see she's crying. And it's my favorite.
Nels, for heaven's sake, we should have signed it tonight. You're just causing a delay.
You read the contract.
No, I haven't read the contract. It's just a mere formality. That's what Major Guppy said.
The whole thing smells funny to me. Nancy, must you bang on that piano?
Nels, for heaven's sake, don't yell at her like that.
Well, tell her not to play like that.
You hate me. Oh, see what you've done. No, darling, he doesn't hate you. Now just play. Oh, honey, it's lovely. Nels, where are you going?
Insane. I am going insane.
Now, we haven't finished the discussion with the contract.
Harriet, as you said, it's your restaurant. You do as you please.
It's like, that's going to haunt me in my nightmares. The music is so bad. You hate me. It's so funny. So she signs up for it. I mean, she does what any sucker is going to do, right?
I mean, this whole plot hinges on no one having read the contract. Like, not even Nils would have read it.
Right. Like it's going to kill you to read. Like, you do know how to read, right?
And it doesn't look very big. I've worked on bigger ones.
Right. And the verbiage is not that complex.
No. Not back then.
No. But, well, maybe this was the first. Mrs. Sullivan's, as far as I know, does not exist today.
Did it ever? Did it ever? Did anybody do any research?
Well, we do know that the timeline for the ending does not make any sense.
Right. They do like a Terminator time thing that is like,
Makes no sense.
Oh, we'll get there.
But here we go. This is basically the plan is going into action and Major Guffey shows up to explain everything. I don't think Melissa Gilbert's in this episode, if I recall.
She is not. She is not.
Yeah.
Just by cutting down on the size of the tables and turning them crosswise, you have increased your seating capacity by 22%.
Major Bradshaw and
Harriet.
Good morning, Miss Foster.
When will it be open again?
We'll be open in a couple of days, dear. Do come back.
Oh, I will.
Yes, I know.
It's like she's so obnoxious. I know.
Almanzo makes an appearance in this episode, though.
Yeah, Almanzo.
Whatever.
Good morning, Almanzo.
Morning, Foster.
Everybody loves Almanzo.
Mrs. Olson, chairs are ready.
Oh, what adorable little chairs. Where are the backs?
It's one of our secrets.
Secrets?
Well, you don't want people to get too comfortable. Just sit around the tables, do we?
No?
It's like a Grace Papaya. Well, Grace Papaya didn't even have chairs.
They did not. Don't knock Grace Papaya.
They're gone, right?
You know, they're gone.
Rest in peace, Grace Papaya.
I love them.
Definitely had a late night handful of hot dogs.
No.
Well, the more turnover, the more business, the more profits.
Oh, what an interesting idea.
I'll get the rest of them.
Oh, thank you, Almanzo.
Did you catch that?
Cat blooper.
Well, she went to call it Zaldamo, which I love. And here's the continuation of the changes.
Where do you want these, Major Guffey?
The accessories. Just put them down.
There's more.
Accessories?
Tablecloths, curtains, napkins, plates, flatware, glasses.
We didn't order all that stuff.
A regular issue, Nels. All the troops use the same supplies. Eliminate squabbling in the ranks.
This color green. I hate this color green.
But best of all, because we buy these items in such huge quantity, you only have to pay just a little above cost.
We have to buy this stuff?
I'm afraid it's laid out right here. Article 4, paragraph 3 of your contract.
The whole thing is at best 5 pages long, one-sided.
Yep. And it doesn't even look a full 8.5 by 11 paper. It looks folded over.
Yeah. And you know what? The yellow thing might just be the like carbon sheet or something. Jeez.
Yes, right here. And all items necessary to the maintenance and operation of the signatory's institution will be purchased from the parent organization, etc., etc.
So they're... Here's the beginning of the end, really, except they kind of have a moment of success, I would say, where they have the opening. One thing I think that's kind of interesting is that Caroline just kind of went along with it.
Until she doesn't.
Well, until she doesn't, but it takes her a little while. The green is, what would you say this green is, like Kelly green?
That is an ugly green. It is true.
This is like as green as – this is the color green you would want your grass to be if you were a psychopath. if it rained every day, this is what my grass would look like instead of more brown.
Ouch.
Yeah, I refuse to water my lawn. So here's a clip. The opening of the new place and getting the troops ready. And they have these little pins with the little terrible drawing of Mrs. Sullivan, which I think is kind of funny.
My troops are ready. Here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, battle stations!
Yeah, I just did want to share that, you know, I've reached out a number of times to Kitty Lester. Kitty? It's Kitty, right? And I spoke to somebody who represents her and, you know, said that she does have an interest in coming on and speaking to me. But yeah, we just haven't been able to like find a day and time that work, but
wow.
I'm really kind of hoping to. She has a really wonderful jazz career. I don't know if you go on Spotify and just look her up, you'll find like her music and she really must be, an interesting career.
She must be old now.
She's maybe 85, 86.
Wow. Hey, a quick question for you. Did anybody on this show win an Emmy ever? Like Harriet or anybody? Michael Landon maybe?
You know what? I'm not really sure, but I'm going to look it up as this clip.
I'm just wondering if you know, a show that runs, what, 10 seasons?
Yeah, it's got it,
somebody,
right?
Somebody has got to have won something.
Yeah, I would say so. So I'm going to look it up.
Oh, well, we have a lovely menu. We have pan-fried steak and roast chicken.
You come in and sit right there. How do you like the new restaurant?
Huh?
How do you like the new restaurant?
Oh, really? This sure is fancy, Hester Sue. Reckon I'll look at a menu, see what the grub is.
Well, we don't have menus. We don't need any. We have three meals. We have pan-fried steak, beef stew, and roast chicken.
Huh?
Pan-fried steak, beef stew, and roast...
Ernest, it's part of our new efficiency program. You see, you'll always know what you're getting. You know that we're never going to run out. And you also know that we're going to save you some money. You see, it's called the wave of the future.
It's what?
It's the wave of the future.
Now, the phrase the wave of the future, I learned, was not really used until 1940. You know, like, yeah, I'm sure, you know, it's possible it was used here and there, but it wasn't popularized until 1940. I could find out exactly the thing. I do want to just mention that Little House on the Prairie did win a number of awards. In 1979 and 1982, David Rose won Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding something here. Let's see, the Outstanding Music Composition. People's Choice Awards. I have to click on each one. It won't give me the full title.
Oh.
People's Choice Award for Favorite TV Network TV Drama. For one in 1978, 1979.
Nice. Okay.
Let's see what else.
That was during its like prime run too.
78, 79. Ted Voigtlander won an Emmy Award for Outstanding Cinematography, and more recently, TV Land gave away an award to Most Memorable Kiss to Melissa Gilbert and Dean Butler, and that was in 2006. And TV Land the same year gave Alison Arngrim a character most desperately in need of a timeout. So that's cute. So play the rest of this clip.
Oh, well, that sounds all right to me. I reckon I'll have the stew.
Beef stew. Yeah. All right. One stew
coming up.
Watch the plate.
How are you doing so far, Caroline?
Oh,
really is much simpler this way. Oh. Everything's mostly cooked. Just a matter of putting it on the plates.
Oh, very good. How about you, Hester Sue? Any problems?
Not.
Good. Oh, isn't it wonderful? It is. It's just working out exactly the way Major Guffey said it would. Oh.
Maybe Harriet shouldn't stick her disgusting fingers into the food that's being served to customers and eating from those things. It's disgusting.
Customers can't see.
Yeah, that exactly. Happens. Who knows?
That happens at Applebee's even today.
So you think this is the predecessor to Applebee's?
Oh, yeah, that's all I kept thinking of. I went into an Applebee's recently, and it was the worst experience I've ever had.
Did you really? What did you order?
I got like a hamburger or something. The kids got stuff from the kids' meals. It took forever. Someone yacked in the bathroom, the kids told me. I was like, oh, man, this place is...
I've never eaten in an Applebee's, but where were we? We were somewhere, maybe in Connecticut or something, but over a year ago, and we were like, we have to eat. Like, it's, you know, when you just like, you just go too long and everybody's kind of pissed off at each other. We're like, all right, it's time to eat something. And we went to a Ruby Tuesday or Tuesdays. I'm not sure if it's singular or plural, but it was surprisingly good. I was very surprised. Good
idea.
I
gotta try. I don't think I've ever. There is one by me, but I'd never been there.
Yeah, it was, and there was the price was really decent. So everything was, the food was good. Wasn't too like, I mean, it was like, you know, what you kind of expect, but I mean, it was decent.
But ground round is better.
I've never been to Crown Row. When, you know, I just visited Niagara Falls, and there were a lot of like these little kind of places we went to. We went to the Flying Saucer Diner in Canada, which is it's a diner in the shape of a UFO. And look it up. Food is terrible. I do not recommend the food there.
Why don't you post pics of this? That would have been a great pick.
You know what? I still have pictures that I could post, but the reason why I didn't do much tagging or anything like that in Canada is because I had to buy a new data plan as soon as I went over the Rainbow Bridge.
Dope.
And I was like, "You kidding me?" And my GPS wasn't working in my car, and I'm like, "What?" Yeah. So, I don't know why, but AT&T had to charge me an additional $10, which is not the worst thing in the world. But I had terrible coverage. Terrible coverage. Screw you, Canada. You and your stupid falls. No, it was all right. It's not the most everybody's nice, everybody's friendly, it's very clean, but I find that things were very difficult to locate. It's not, they think they're very tourist friendly, but they're really not. They don't understand at all. Like, hey, do you know where this is? I've never heard of that. It's like, it's a public like thing, like, you know, it's been here for 45 years and you've never heard of it. I don't know, we'll see. I don't think the Niagara Falls is going to close down anytime soon, though.
I don't know.
Might shut it down.
Dry up.
Shut it down. All right, here we go.
Well, how do you like it?
Best beef stew I ever tasted, Hester Sue, bar none.
That's kind of what people think when they first have Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? You're like, this is the best fried chicken. And then they finish what they were eating, and they're like, kind of makes me feel weird. Kind of greasy. Yeah, the stuff, it's just kind of funny the way it all kind of, I lost my notes here, so I'm a little lost. All right, so.
Wait, you got to keep playing the scene we were in?
Cause okay, yeah.
They just get busier and Caroline's plating gets worse.
Okay.
May I help you?
Mrs. Olson?
Yes.
I'll have the beef stew.
All right, now, here's just a moment. Beef stew.
And my wife will have the steak.
And steak. Oh, excuse me, just a moment. Nels. Now you've got to help.
I haven't eaten yet.
Well, neither have I. Now listen, I'll get you a pan and an apron. I'll be right with you.
And Nels is like, crap.
Caroline, don't burn the steaks.
I saw that. It was like pouring over the edge. Jeez, take a little bit of pride here. What would Gil Gerard say? He was still eating. Like, I don't know if you noticed that. They still had the fork in their hand. You see Hester, she'd come in and just take it away.
That's what they do now.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're right.
I like.
What?
No, keep going.
This is another thing I thought was kind of interesting. I forgot about this until just now. So they have this really large frying pan that, you know, it's
fried. Must be a cast iron.
Yeah, it's a cast iron. Now there's cooked steaks in there, and she's putting raw ones right next to it. Can't do that.
She knows the timing on each one.
Yeah, but this is cross-contamination. You can't put raw food next to cooked food. Moron. Hey, you ever see pictures in Manhattan where people would go to those, I'm forgetting what they're called, but they were really popular in the 50s, maybe even the 40s, where you would put a coin in.
And get the food?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? It was like a vending machine for sandwiches and stuff like that. It was like a cafeteria type thing. That's what this really reminds me of. And although I think it's kind of interesting, I also think it's really, really sad looking. You know,
this restaurant or
this? Well, it's a very cafeteria look when the tables are all set up like that.
Yep. And also, like, how big is Walnut Grove? How many times are these people really going to come out every night?
Yeah. You know, 7 nights a week.
This is where I'm starting to put logic to this episode, and it's falling apart.
Yeah.
I'll even take I'll even take Carrie's Daydream episode with easier logic than this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is a town that had to get together to grind up corn that was just, wheat that was destroyed in a storm,
right,
in order to pay their bills.
Right, and suddenly everybody
now they have a disposable income, yeah. Instead of buying an oven.
Just to wait till we get to Paul. We haven't even gotten to him yet.
Yeah, the worst of the worst.
Good night, Carolyn. Thank you.
Good night.
I like that right there. It's like, well, oh, good night, Caroline.
Right.
Oh, Hester Sue, good night on your 8 mile walk home. You know she doesn't live around there. She's bussing in.
Oh, man. I mean, this is why I don't understand. I don't think the blind school is up and running here.
No.
I don't know where Hester Sue is living.
Dollars.
The loft of the Ingalls here in the barn. Jeez, poor Hester Sue.
She just sleeps on the street somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Her and Doc have bunk beds or something.
And 46 nails. That's the most we've ever made in one day. Oh, everything that the major said is coming true.
Well, it might pay for the new dishes and the sign.
Well, $24.40, Nels. Now, just think. In 1 week, we will be rich.
Harriet, I know that we did very well tonight. There's no denying that. But the whole idea of this scheme was to lessen our workload. Now, we worked harder tonight than we have ever worked. And that's both of us, and Carolyn, and Hester Sue.
Well, I know, but... Well, Major Guffey said that the workload would start to decrease, and... I believe him. Everything he said so far has come true, Nell.
See, now, in inflation, we're going to look at an inflation calculator, of course. Let's say they made about $25. I forget the exact numbers, 24-something. In today's money, that's about $615. I mean, it's really not that much.
And some of that is going to Major Guffey. He's getting some cut of that.
Right.
Plus, probably you got to pay Ma and Hester Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Pay for the food.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, Nels. Everything's going to be all right. I just know it is. Trust me.
Famous last word.
He's
like, wah, wah.
These are the music cues that won that guy the People's Choice.
Exactly. I don't think it was this episode, though.
No.
It was definitely not. I really would love to see them perform some of these. I wish they had the foresight to have filmed the orchestra doing these.
Just get the Boston Pops to do it.
Just get them together. Give them a case of beer.
Right?
It would be kind of cool.
With Little House on the Prairie, directed by John Williams, conducting.
John Williams. Wait, he's not doing Star Wars anymore, so yeah, no, they'll do Little House.
He's got time now.
We need a Little House movie reboot. All black.
When is it coming? It's got to come.
Everyone will be black. Will that be historical? No. That might not work, actually. Everyone will be women. No, that won't work either. All right, we might just not be able to do this reboot. Mark at WalnutGroveCast.com. All right, so the next clip is Pa and Caroline. There's no time to make popcorn tonight. We're just going to sit in bed and complain.
Ah, that feels so good.
Put on something.
It's very erotic. He's so many people.
We took in almost $25.
What? Can Harry, you Nels, for one sec. So, like, she's Ma's such a prude. Like, yeah. She's wearing socks still. Like, you want them to rubber your feet. Take your sock off, lady.
Maybe she has a gangrene little toe or something.
Even when she goes to bed twice in this episode. Once with Pa, and she always has clothes on.
Ma always has cold feet. That's what Laura says.
Yeah.
The last time I saw her with her legs up, she was going to cut it off. Poor Ma. Works much harder than Charles.
Right? And he's the one complaining.
Yeah, exactly.
We're happy about that.
Not too sure about Nels.
I also like it when Ma has her hair down.
Right? She's looking fine.
She needs a big blowout.
When she was working hard and during that montage earlier and she was starting to sweat.
Yeah, and she's rolling her eyes.
Baby, ooh, you get me hot.
What's up, Karen? Bring her a Coke. No, her hair needs a blowout. It is, 1981 after all.
Charles.
Whoa, what's going on there?
I have got to lie down.
I got some soup on the stove. I'll bring it in to you.
That would be nice.
One good thing. At least you won't have to work tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow you could bring home some leftovers?
Yeah, really?
It's like if Ma worked at Outback, they would probably be eating Bloomin' Onions and steak all night.
I used to do that in college. I worked in, the bar area, but mm-hmm. I had access to the main kitchen.
Nice.
So on Sundays when that was closed, I would take a whole chicken or something.
Why not? It's probably going to get chucked out anyway. my
Who's
wife.
Counting?
My wife has – there's a guy at my wife's job who does, medical sales and stuff like that. And he's just a really nice guy or whatever. But he said that he used to work at Costco, and he was a manager there. And he's like, every night they throw away so much stuff, and it's, crazy. He's like, by law, they're not allowed to take it. And he's like, it's the most wasteful thing he's ever seen in his whole life.
I was wondering, do restaurants give their what they have left over to local?
I think there's
homeless places.
Now. Well, I know with the Scouts, very often we'll have banquets and we'll just get too much food donated, and there's a food pantry that will donate. We'll have an extra 8 pizzas or something, and of course, we can bring that over. But from what I understand with restaurants, if they donate food and somebody chokes on it, they're liable.
Oh.
So they get really nervous. But I don't if you go into Costco, there's a section where there's these burritos and these platters of stuff. He's like, they throw away about 800 pounds of stuff every week. It's crazy.
Jeez. That's a shame.
I'll take one if it's not expired yet. This one doesn't even have any mold on it. No, we're a very wasteful nation, of course. It's all a part of the price, I guess. So Ma falls asleep almost immediately. Pa's
like, damn it, I'm not getting anything tonight. No. All right, maybe next night.
He wasn't like, I said I heated up soup for you, Caroline. Spill it on her. That'll teach her. So phase two comes into place. Major Guffey's like, I have an idea for you to make even more money. In this pyramid scheme.
That was pretty good.
I don't know.
Oh, I have more money. I can't do it.
It's just my snooty voice.
And Sunday night we did almost as well over $20.
Outstanding. Harriet, you're a real trooper. I'm mighty proud of you.
Oh.
And Mrs. Sullivan will be too.
Oh, did you hear that, Nils? Mrs. Sullivan will be proud of me.
Yes, dear.
And the time is not far off, Harriet, when you are going to be a very wealthy woman.
Really?
No doubt about it. Uh-huh. Right up through the ranks.
Right.
And now we're ready to go to the next stage of our campaign. Phase two.
Phase two?
Yes, that's right. In phase two, we go into continuous operation. The restaurant will stay open from breakfast all day right through supper.
All day?
What for?
For the increased profits, of course.
This is what I don't get. So if they were to make $20, you know, a night, you know, 30 days a week, I mean, 7 days a week, they would make about $600 a month. So that's about $15,000 in today's money. Like, it's just, it's not enough. Like, I would imagine they make that much at the Mercantile.
But I think for the purposes of this show,
yeah, I know,
they're showing that they're doing well. So my question here is, why not hire more people to take care of the earlier shift?
Right.
Just, no one's thinking.
Get Albert to bust some tables.
Right? What does that kid do all day?
Nothing. Complains.
Jason Bateman, what the hell's he doing?
He's brushing his hair all day.
Let's dress up Nancy like in a Hooters costume to bring the crowd in.
Now we're talking real franchise. exactly. Jason Bateman, get off the phone with your sister Justine and, you know, come over here and work.
Consider the possibilities. We educate the troops and their stomachs to know that at any time of the day, be it 10 in the morning or 4 in the afternoon, Mrs. Sullivan is ready. Whenever the rumble of hunger is heard, we'll be ready to fill them up and get them marching again.
I would have loved it if they turned it into like an all-you-can-eat like Chinese buffet.
Nice.
That would have been fun.
That would have brought the crowd in.
Yeah. Chinese, like in 1881? Yeah, big time. Maybe they can do a reboot of Little House on the Prairie, but the entire cast is Chinese.
No. Well, the Chinese built the railroads.
Right,
so
there were Chinese in the country. We could do it. All right.
Before 11, scrambled eggs and pancakes. After 11, steak, stew, and chicken. And there's more. To let the world
waffles?
Know of this bold innovation, you are going to take out advertisements in all the newspapers for 50 miles around. We've already written them for you.
And we pay for them.
Of course.
Major Guffey, you can take your advertisements and put them right away. We are not going to open this restaurant full time.
I beg your pardon?
It's too much work as it is. We got into this in the first place because you said it would run itself.
Well, the bottom line is it's in the contract, dummy.
Article 9.
If you look at the blah, 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 blah. Jeez. And every time Nels yells at him, he has the look of like, well, it's right here. Why is it a surprise? And Harriet's just like, maybe I should have read it. but I don't think they're normally taken advantage of like this. And this is an example of them being country folk in comparison to city folk.
Yeah.
So back at the Ingalls homestead, we have, they're fighting, as you wrote, they're fighting about cooking dinner, but Pa has a plan.
I did the cooking last night. I'm not doing it again tonight.
Me neither. All you cooked were the potatoes. I did everything else.
So who do you not know on this table?
All right, hold on. All right, there's a girl with a back to us. That's not Carrie.
No, that's Cassandra.
Where is Carrie?
That's Cassandra. Carrie's the older girl to the left that Grace is on her lap.
That's Carrie?
Yeah, she grew up.
Yeah. Carrie has dialogue. She says,
"Yeah,
I did not.
I'm gonna rewind it.
I did.
I'm even gonna play it again. Is that either
Carrie? Yeah. Holy shit.
She grew up, man.
I did the cooking last night. I'm not doing it again tonight.
Me neither.
That's it. She says, me neither.
Twice.
All you cook with the potatoes. Okay, I did everything else. I'm not cooking anything tonight.
What? That was Justin Bateman.
Why doesn't Grace speak? Like, does she have a problem?
Well, Grace has the same thing that I think that Carrie had.
Charles, you better check your sperm because something's not coming out right.
Well, the kid is, you know, very blonde.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, what's interesting is Wendy Lou Lee and her sister are also, they're still very blonde. So, I mean, but this is very blonde. This is like Children of the Damned blonde.
Yeah, that's, I don't think that's
platinum blonde. Yeah. That's like very Lonnie Anderson.
Me neither.
That was night before last I did the potatoes. Last night I did everything.
Whoa, you two. What's going on?
Albert has a morphine addiction. Oh, wait, wrong episode.
Beat them, Pa. Beat them
with a switch.
Ever since Mom's been so busy at the restaurant, I've been doing all the cooking.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. It's all baby talk.
It's Albert's turn.
I've done more than you, and you know it.
And let's not start this ruckus again. It seems to me that I have done the lion's share of the cooking this week. I mean, with breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, at least your food's fit to eat. His isn't.
Look who's talking.
I told you not to start it again. I think I've got an idea. Right. From now on, I am going to cook the evening meal.
Order a pizza.
All right. But if anybody doesn't finish everything on their plate or they complain about anything, that person will do the cooking the next evening, and so on. A deal?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay with me. All right, then.
They should have showed it. I think it would have been hilarious if you have in the next shot, you have Gracie, like, cooking. Just kind of like, bleh, like, all right, I guess we're eating oatmeal.
Everybody outside, get me some stove wood. I'll start cooking. Guarantee I'm going to make you a meal. You won't forget. You're going to love it. Very special. Get lots of wood. Grace, we got him. From now on, they're going to do all the cooking.
That was a cute little moment.
I was going to say, Grace, even a worse actress than Carrie.
No, I don't buy that. Carrie's the worst. No. Until she got older, they weren't giving her... I feel as though the Greenbush twins, which is Carrie, right? They got some dialogue coaching. That's what I think. And I think that you can understand what they said. But when they were little, you really couldn't understand a damn word they were saying.
Yeah, like if they said, me neither, back then, we'd be like, what? Grace just shakes her head. And so, okay, we get it.
Yeah, like Grace just like smiles like, well, I'm cute.
All right, so this is my first question in the very next scene.
All right.
What is Pa making from the cookbook here? Because
all right, I'm going to flip open the Little House on the Prairie cookbook and see what it is.
It looks like something with mushrooms, something with asparagus, right, potatoes. I don't want to – so Pa is deliberately making bad food, and look at all this waste. I mean, you got to be – why would you do this? Why would you do this?
Well, maybe he tried to make this one thing. It's called creamed carrots. Ooh, that just doesn't sound right. So great. But, you know, I really do want to have a conversation with Kim Layer about that because she knows this cookbook inside and out. So she would be the person who might be able to identify it. But I do want to see what he's cooking. So I'm going to play it.
More pot of delicious food coming up. I've about done myself. Come on, dig in. I want you to eat while it's hot.
It even sounds gross, like slopping around.
He says stewed tomatoes for one of them.
Asparagus?
Mm-hmm.
Bean and cheese casserole?
With mushrooms, lots of big mushrooms.
Breaded tomatoes?
Yeah, I made that specially for you. Here, let me have your plate. Good? Everybody enjoying this?
Oh, it tastes great.
Sure is.
Here, get
some. See, seconds. She doesn't speak.
Seconds? Hope I made enough. What's some of this?
The kid's no sucker. So they stuff it in their pants, even though it looked pretty wet.
That looked...
yeah.
They're wasting food.
I mean, they're poor, right?
How would you like to go back to the big city and live by hooking yourself?
Albert. And the other ones, you know, Cassandra and I forget his name, you know, their dad just decided to die one day. And their right? mother so, and I.
I'll just put you out.
Yeah.
You're out. Wherever you want.
The only two people in there that deserve to be in there is Carrie and Grace. Get out. I don't know why they wouldn't just eat fish. You know, it's like, can they go down to the creek?
Can we play the next scene? Because this is
this with the food in their pockets, you mean? Or?
No. The where Caroline quits the restaurant.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Because I want to talk about this one.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nils, it's almost 11 o'clock.
That's nice.
Well, the restaurant's been open for hours.
That's nice.
Well, aren't you going over there?
I'm not going over there.
Nils, for heaven's sakes, Caroline and Hester Sue can't run that all by themselves. Now, I've got the store to take care of.
Harriet, you said it was your restaurant. You go over there.
Oh, Nils, I'm tired.
So am I. But I'm not a general in Mrs. Sullivan's army. You go feed the troops.
Never seen anyone so lazy.
In all fairness, why isn't Nancy and Willie helping?
Yeah, where the fuck is Willie? Like, put him to work, man.
Carry a friggin' bag of something. Anything. He can be a server. Come on. He'll be a bartender.
You know, Harriet, you should have thought about, oh, delivery. I'll have Willie deliver.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Or even a drive-thru. That'd be nice. A wagon-thru.
Praise
be. What'd you say?
There's the Marla Gibbs again.
Exactly. Florence.
Praise be.
Now, may I have your order?
Hold on. Wasn't the kitchen in a different location?
What do you mean?
Hold on. Do you have an open in front of you?
Yeah.
Praise be. Let me have this.
When she walks in, it's as though the kitchen is to the right.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
I mean,
and it doesn't have a swinging door either.
Yeah, isn't the kitchen normally all the way straight to the back to the left?
We'll have to go back. Yeah. Lots of loopers in this episode.
Yes.
Oh, I'm here. You don't have to worry anymore. Praise be. Here, let me have this. Yes, thanks. Now, may I have your order?
You know something, Caroline? We just started, and I'm tired already.
We can't keep working these hours. Now, I...
Orders, orders, orders! The troops are starving. Isn't it wonderful? We're just so busy, 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 busy.
Harriet, I'm glad things are going so well for
yes,
you.
Yes, it's just exactly the way Major Guffey promised it.
I have to talk to you.
All right, what is it, Caroline?
The job. I can't handle it. I'm here all day. I stay late. I'm worn out when I get home in the evening. I never even see my family. I don't want to put you in a tight spot, but I have to give my notice.
Oh. Oh, please. Please, Caroline, please. I beg you. I beg you, don't leave me. I can't do it all alone.
I'm sorry, but...
But, Nels, I have to do it. I have to prove to Nels that I can do it.
I don't want to make things hard for you, but I...
Money. I'll give you more money.
No, it isn't money. It's my time.
Oh, no, I'll give you a percentage of the take.
No, Harriet, it isn't...
Please.
Wait a second.
Hester Sue is right there. Speak up, girl.
But you're willing to give more money and a percentage of the take? Like, and you're saying no? Caroline.
Exactly.
You live in a little house on the prairie.
And Hester Sue, you're on the street. Can you please speak
up? Bunk beds with, like, Doc Baker. Jeez.
Please, Caroline, please, I beg you. Please don't leave me. Please just stay a little longer. Just a little longer. I'll make things easier for you. Please.
Say no.
Right.
I'll talk it over with Charles.
Caroline. Thank you. Thank you.
It's so pathetic.
There's Hester no one else. Sue just... Hester Sue just standing right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit.
I'm going to quit too. Oh, that's nice.
I'll get Willie.
Oh, poor Hester Sue. She deserves better.
I know, right? This is really such a bad episode for her.
So meanwhile, about 2 miles down the road in the little house, we have Pa's poor cooking at home. because nobody's complaining, which is hilarious.
But
yeah,
here again, now, all right, maybe the last meal was like vegetables that came from his, you know, he grew them.
Yeah.
So I don't think you would want to waste them. But now he's doing pork chops, and you're telling me he doesn't know how to make pork chops?
No.
You're telling me he's going to burn them? This is like a $50 meal, like pork chop.
It's more than that. It's a pork chop that came from a pig that they had to have slaughtered. This is like, you know, Jimmy the Pig.
This is egregious. I never want to hear Pa say.
It's egregious.
I don't want to hear him ever complain about being poor again.
Seriously.
Whatever it is, it smells awful.
It sure does.
Open a window, Pa.
Right there by the plate.
Oh, no.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't open the window, Pa.
Why does she get the good one?
Wait, is there something wrong with yours?
No.
Okay. Here, let me have your plate, Dylan. How's yours, James?
It's great, Pa.
This reminds me of something I made once. And Betsy still reminds me to this day about this particular meal. I was watching, this is years and years, this has to be 15 years ago. I was making French onion soup. But I was making a large batch of it. So, you know, basically Vidalia onions, and you let it kind of cook for like ever. So I was doing this and it tasted really great. And then I said, you know what? I'm just going to let it cook for another 20 minutes. And that was the period of time where it got ruined. And it was so bad. It was the worst. But it was so good if I had stopped it at that point.
Dope.
And actually, Betsy never got to try it when it was good. She only tried it when it was really bad. And this is what her face was like. And she's like, no, it's good.
We need the Mark Chacoma cookbook.
Oh, what not to do. Take it out 20 minutes early is what you do.
What was it?
Oh, good, because I'm going to make you a lot more.
How bad could it be? Pretty bad. Burnt meat.
I like burnt meat, but anyway.
But you know what else? Why are you cooking indoors? Like, you know, you live on a homestead.
Yeah, really? You
have an earth oven. Have an earth oven. Yeah, a fire pit, or, you know, have a smoker going. I got to teach the Ingles how to cook. You have like a cold smoker on the property. Be nice. So Mom and Pa are in bed again, and Ma.
And Pa's like, he's frisky. He's like, looking for something.
And if you look closely, he has like burnt pork in his tooth. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if she's like, why don't you want to share the food with the kids that I brought home? And he's like, it's all for me. Like with a toothpick, you know?
Wanted to give notice. But, Charles, I felt so sorry for her. Well, she's trying so hard, and there's so much work. I feel just awful leaving her right now.
What about me?
You can understand.
Yes, I can understand.
Keep bringing home those bucks.
I wish I couldn't.
He's taking her hand and putting it on his...
It'll only be for a little while.
All right, but when this is over,
you're gonna
know what I want? I want a turkey. I want a turkey with bread and potato stuffing. And sweet potatoes. And hot rolls with butter. And a pie.
What is this, Thanksgiving? Jeez.
No, I want two pies. I want a mince pie, and I want a pumpkin pie. And you got to promise to make them. Carol.
Damn it, I'm not getting anything.
Exactly. Again.
This can't happen again.
I guess I'll go out to the barn and see if Hester sees up. Oh, my, Charles. All right. Enough adding to the Little House on the Prairie fan fiction.
What's your phase three of Father Guffey's? What's his name?
Major Guffey.
$800, $900, $1,010, $111. Another banner week. Yeah. Mrs. Sullivan is pleased with you. Harriet, you're a good soldier.
Thank you.
In fact, we're ready to move into phase three.
Phase three?
Our top-notch battle plan. This is your opportunity to become part of a business that is always expanding.
Well, I don't know.
All you have to do is talk to your friends, your relatives, persuade just two of them to take out their own franchises on Mrs. Sullivan's kitchens in their own communities. And you will supervise the operation.
How can I do that?
Eventually, those two will persuade two more, and before you know it, we'll have an army of Mrs. Sullivan's kitchens all over Hero Township.
Sounds a little pyramid schemey.
What is Hero Township?
You know, there's an explanation out there for it, but it's basically what the area is.
Where Walnut Grove is. Okay.
Yeah. It's, I forget the exact designation.
So if Walnut Grove is Brooklyn, then... I'm sorry, so Hero Township is Brooklyn, let's say, and Walnut Grove is like a Bay Ridge.
Maybe. I'm looking it up. I'd have to get you a better reference. Yeah, the first thing that comes up is Walnut Grove history. I don't know. I'd have to get back to you on that. But actually, I think Chris Cooling posted something about the difference of Hero Township. I'll have to look that up. I'm sure I'll have asked him by the time this episode airs. So, all right. So what we have is it's a pyramid scheme. You know, I get you and you get two and then they get two. And next thing you know, you're.
Well, I'm wondering. I'm thinking like this is really how franchises were.
Yeah.
If they had franchises back then, I still think the period of Little House still is before the time of. Franchising restaurants, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if the actual technique of a franchise was really happening at this point. But it wouldn't be too long after that it would, you know, begin. You know, I'm not even sure what the first franchise was, to be honest with you.
True.
But we'll find out. So let's see. What are we up to here? Let's push it along a little bit here. Pa's at home, decides to take the kids to...
Well, now Pa enacts a scheme.
Yeah.
And this is where the episode, like, if I was having trouble with it before, I was like, this plan doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly wouldn't have the desired effect so quickly.
No, not in a matter of just days. So Pa basically drops the kids off at Mrs. Sullivan's, to just kind of hang out?
No, he goes over to Nils's because Pa's got a plan.
Yeah, he's going to open a restaurant called The Olsen's or The Olsen Restaurant.
Yeah, I think it's just The Olsen's, The Olsen Restaurant, something like that.
And it's just home-cooked meals.
And I think it's just turkey, you know, turkey and all the fixings. So you're telling me that restaurant, which serves only one meal – is going to steal all the customers.
Yes.
And now, let me get this straight.
Wait, don't forget the deal that they were giving.
2 for 1?
No, they were giving 3 for 1.
3 for 1. But Pa doesn't do anything. Pa is just playing the fiddle throughout the restaurant while Nils is doing all the cooking.
He's killing it.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, come on,
people. And you still don't have the kids helping.
No. Maybe there were child labor laws back then.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think not a one. So I'm gonna go right to Charles has a plan.
Okay.
Or should I go even further?
You might have to go further.
All right.
Wait, let me see.
How about the Harriet basically takes this as a personal attack, of course, because all of a sudden her restaurant, you know what? The new customers, that'll be funny.
I was going to ask you, like, are these people you've seen before or?
I have a feeling I've seen the woman play someone before, but I don't know who they are.
Okay.
Listen, I've told you all to stop running in here.
They keep chasing me.
I'm not chasing you.
Well, just stop running.
Lancy.
What is squabbling? I can hear you in the kitchen. It's her fault.
Caroline. Why did...
They can't run outside? I don't get it. The whole schoolyard to go play on. There's a seesaw and everything.
Charles leaves the children here today.
He said he had to work. Children in the kitchen.
Everyone's eating the food like they've never eaten before.
And they can't afford this, but all right.
No. I want to get a coffee pot like that. A stoneware.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Mathlon, when did you get back from your trip back east?
We figured a month was long enough to be gone.
That's about as long as I could do without some of Caroline's lemon meringue pie.
Oh.
We stopped here right on our way from the stage so I can get some.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, but we don't serve Caroline's lemon meringue pie anymore. No, you see, we've changed the whole thing, and now we have Mrs. Sullivan's very own delicious chocolate cake. Everyone loves it.
No lemon meringue pie?
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Maybe we could try that new restaurant across the street. They might have some. We'll be back, Harriet, another time.
New restaurant across the street.
So it's the Olsen's restaurant. It's pretty awesome. And the food does look a little bit better, in my opinion.
And they got a fiddle player.
Yeah, I'm going to play playing the fiddle.
That's got to be like the shot for the episode for the Facebook page. Is him with the fiddle just walking through that room.
I'll grab it right now.
Would you like to have two dinners for the price of one?
Yeah, so she's losing customers. So she's out there with coupons trying to hand them out to the hundreds of people who are all of a sudden in Walnut Grove.
Right. And traffic. Eat out every night, apparently.
Yeah, it's a really hot spot.
Two dinners for the price of...
Here we go. Just look at this, sir. We are going to have two dinners for the price of one. You can bring your wife or your girlfriend or what? Excuse me, sir. You dropped your coupe.
This is three dinners for the price of one. Shut up. Too funny. Actually, so we have Pa in there playing fiddle, and everybody seems to... We have even more customers over there. You know, it's a happening little city going on here in Walnut Grove. Who lives above Mrs. Sullivan's? I see curtains. Interesting.
Willie.
All right, let's see. There's no business. And we get Major Guffman's or whatever.
Not happy.
Major
happy.
Guffey's. No, he's not happy at all. Not cooperating here. Here we go.
Hi, Harriet. Everything is going to work out.
Everybody likes Nils' cooking.
It's nothing more depressing than four kids playing checkers inside of a restaurant.
Not everybody. And look at Ernest. Isn't it good, Ernest?
Oh, yeah. Best roast lamb I ever ate.
Ow! It's pan-fried steak.
Pan-fried? Huh? Oh, well, don't make much difference to me one way or another no more. I ain't tasted nothing for 5 years, ever since that thrasher ran over my neck.
Ow. Ow.
So Major walks in.
Casualties on the front lines.
Major Guffey. There's a restaurant across the street and they're stealing all of our business.
Sounds like a strategic maneuver. Have you suffered heavy losses?
Here are the receipts.
Oh, this is disastrous. Have you dispersed the troops?
Oh,
Major Guffey, I don't know what you're talking about most of the time.
Have you established the new franchises yet?
How can I establish any franchises when I'm trying to save this restaurant?
I knew it was a mistake to let a woman command a post.
What?
Ouch.
This is painful.
This is not woke.
Well, Mrs. No. Sullivan's a woman and she commands the whole thing.
There's no such person as Mrs. Sullivan. We picked that old lady off the streets of Chicago and paid her $2 to pose for the picture.
There's no Mrs. Sullivan.
The company is run by men, the way it should be. Article 12, paragraph 2. Franchise is revocable at any time at the discretion of the supervisor. That's me. You have disgraced us, Mrs. Olson. I'm drumming you out of the ranks. By tomorrow, pick up the sign.
He takes the pin off of her thing and drops
and it. Salutes.
It's like F Troop. So Harriet goes over and just basically lets Nels know what's going
but
on.
But Nels says, I already know. How does he know that?
Yeah, you're right.
It's not possible. If that guy played the fiddle.
What?
If that guy was playing the fiddle in that small room while I was trying to eat.
Shut up.
I'd like throw my food at him.
Do you know the Meligoynia?
How come the women in this restaurant, while they're eating, they keep the bonnets on?
I don't know.
Like, take that off, lady. You must be hot.
Isn't it warm in there?
Stay a while.
Nils, it's all your fault. You've ruined everything. And now the major just tore up the contract.
Yes, I know. Isn't it wonderful?
What do you mean? Isn't it wonderful?
Well, now we can forget all about Mrs. Sullivan's kitchen. The people of Walnut Grove made it very clear what kind of food they want. Home cooking. A family restaurant, the way you used to do it.
That's not
true. You've got all...
Yeah, who said that? They like the food.
But exactly. The restaurant was a success.
Right, you dunce.
Why don't you pick up on it now that you don't have the name and
pick up not.
Something you've learned?
Of course not. If we watch the first scene, it's like they're ordering 30,000 things that aren't. There is no menu. Like, can you throw on some sunny side eggs?
The business here.
Not after tonight. We're closing. We just did it so you could get out of your contract. It was Charles's idea.
No credit.
Oh, Nils. Oh, you're wonderful.
Oh, I know. I know.
So the next scene is one of the ones that people remember the most, I think.
I think you should edit in the sound effects for when the Terminator comes back into our present day, like with all the lightning and stuff, and then play this because he doesn't belong. He doesn't belong here at all.
No, well, the Colonel Sanders, I don't even know if that was his real name. He wasn't born until 1890.
Right. And like the franchise, you know, just starting stores was like, I don't know, it was a gas station he bought in the 20s, and there is where he started selling chicken.
Yeah, you know, there's a new Terminator coming out, Terminator Dark Fate.
Yes, and it looks like shit.
Does it?
Yeah, it looks like shit.
Producer James Cameron
back again. Produced.
Yeah, that's true. Might as well be co-produced.
Might as well be, I'm collecting a check.
Well, here's the main theme. Maybe it'll help. Here, I'll play that at the same time.
Morning, man. Good morning. You in charge here?
Yes, my husband and I are.
I wondered if I could interest you in a business proposition.
A business proposition?
I'm opening a number of restaurants which will devote themselves to just one meal. The most succulent, delicious, appetizing fried chicken that ever passed your lips.
One meal? Just fried chicken?
Something I said?
No.
No, I'm sorry. But you see, we tried to make a go of the restaurant by just serving 3 meals. So I can't quite see somebody coming to a restaurant for only 1 meal. Fried chicken.
Oh, sorry you're not interested. Frankly, I think it's the wave of the future.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but I think you're wasting your time.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
That's awesome.
Thank you for listening to Warner Grovecast / The Terminator. It's actually a pretty good theme.
Yes.
Arnold. I can listen to that all day. Well, Christopher, thank you very much for getting together for this episode. Always a lot of fun. Hopefully you continue for a lot of them.
Yes,
I forgot Nels comes out and they laugh, but I'm not even going to bother. It just didn't make any sense.
And they go in the restaurant like, oh, let's go have some sex.
Right. Let's go make some that popcorn.
Let's go make some pan-fried steak.
We got it. We got like a 30 pounds of pan-fried steak on the freezer, in the freezer box.
See, now it's called Caroline's. But, oh, no, it says Nellie's up top.
Oh, yeah, and then it was returned to Nellie's. Interesting.
That's funny. I wonder why they... If I was Caroline, I wouldn't accept that.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I have to look at the next episode. We have to follow this for future. But Christopher, thank you very much for getting together tonight. I do appreciate it. If you want to listen to more of what Christopher and I do together, a lot like this, you can go to VHSRewind.com or look us up on Facebook. Probably best find us on Facebook. Or go to WalnutGrovecast.com.
Bye-bye.
And support the show. You know, if you go to Patreon.com/WalnutGrovecast, you too can support and get early access to episodes, stickers, and all types of stuff. I don't think I sent you a sticker yet, did I, Chris?
You did not.
I have to send you stickers for you and your whole family. To plaster
stickers were
all
good,
around.
But I want to talk to you about phase 2 of our podcast. Okay?
Oh, boy. Is it in the contract?
Article 9.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/WalnutGrovecast. Any support is appreciated.